Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As saints, we are saints of God, and we are saints believing that Jesus is altogether lovely. I know of no story that is better to be told at this time of year than the story of Jesus. It amazes me that people don't seem to comprehend or understand or want to comprehend and understand the teaching that comes from the Word of God about Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus is God's Son, and God sent His Son into the world not to condemn it, but to release people from the sin of their own hearts and minds, and to develop in people a newness of life. And I would like to share some of this with you, because there's all manner of sin and blasphemy that shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, you can find that in Matthew and chapter 12 and verses 30 through 42, especially taking note of verse 31. But in Matthew, we also read the beautiful story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. I would like to share with you for a moment or two the things that God said and then did. We read in the first chapter of Matthew and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she was brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus." Now, here's a story that boggles the mind. Here is a story, and it's a true historical fact, that Mary miraculously became pregnant, had never been with a human man, and yet God had implanted into her body the seed that caused this wonderful child of God, his only begotten son, this wonderful child of God to be born into this world. Now notice there's something here that most of us don't want to talk about, but she wasn't married. And notice, please, that Joseph could have made a public example of her. She could have been stoned to death. She could have been put out of the city. She could have been put out of the synagogue, especially, and not allowed in the temple, because she was a sinning woman. She was pregnant without a doubt. And so people get on their high horses today, and young ladies pretend that this is some spiritual thing that might have happened to them, and wish it were, but they're in a different situation entirely. But I want to share with you, Jesus was in the eyes of the law, according to this piece of scripture, illegitimate. Now there's been cruel things done in the name of God, and there have been cruel things done to illegitimate children. And today we don't talk too much about illegitimacy because it's not nice. It seems to be wrong. Everybody does it, so don't let's get too involved. You have to face facts. It takes a man and a woman to bring a child into this world. It took God to work a miracle in the body of the young woman, who we think was about 16, to bring the child Jesus into this life. God had a point. If he had sent a prince, well-grown, well-groomed, and had sent him with an army, there would have been battles galore. There would have been all sorts of political nonsense going on in the various governments of the land, and Jesus would not have been received. But the Bible says he was tempted in all ways like as we are, and yet without sin. And Jesus was born without sin. And yet, he was the product of what seemed to people that didn't understand these things and didn't want to. It seemed as if he was born in sin. And so later on in the scriptures, we read that the scribes and the Pharisees said, "Your father we know, and your mother we know." Jesus didn't answer them, really. He just ignored them, because he said at another time, "If you knew Moses, and Moses knew God the Father, you would have known me, because Moses talked about me." And you have missed the point. You have missed the point that I am the Son of God. You've missed the point that I am the Savior of the world. I am Messiah. Now, I know that lots of people hearing me say these things are going to have some different discussions. But I say to you in the most simple manner that I can, Jesus was tempted in all ways like as we are. He bore the burden of being called illegitimate. You may have an illegitimate child. You may be one. My dear friend, all sin is forgivable. The only sin that is not forgivable is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And that, simply put, is this: rejecting the testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and can remove all sin. So whatever category of sin you may think you have or know you have, you may know that Jesus has dealt with it. He's been there, done that. You see, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What is this unpardonable sin? Well, you might say, maybe it's lying. After all, people have lied and told awful stories over a long period of time. Well, yes, I suppose you could say it's unforgivable in some ways, but God doesn't say that. Untruthfulness is very common in our day. Our leaders today think nothing of telling us a pack of lies, expecting us to believe them and expecting us not to think for ourselves. They seek to rule us, and they think that we're buying into this business that we're free, when we know we're not. Not as free as we were, and not as free as we will be, because Jesus is coming. But understand that lying, as far as God is concerned, is pretty despicable, because the father of lies is Satan. Did you get that? The father of lying is Satan. And when we lie, we're telling a story. We're telling an untruth. And we're going about things the wrong way. Unfortunately, people who love the Lord Jesus also lie. Unfortunately, we who love the Lord Jesus most are caught in some of the most awful lies that have ever been concocted. Somehow, Satan gets in through the armor and he wrenches at our hearts, and for some reason that is inexplicable, he causes us to dishonor God with our lies. Well, you might say there's another thing that could be unforgivable, that's swearing and unclean talk. That's awful. Yes, it is awful. We're told in the Word of God to cleanse our mouths, speak holy, speak about the things of the Lord, not using blasphemy. I hear Christians saying, "Oh God, oh gee." That's blasphemy. If you don't call upon the name of God in your prayers, you shouldn't be calling upon the name of God to express your disappointments. It seems difficult to me how people have allowed this, but there is forgiveness even for this. You might say, well, drunkenness, that's awful. And I will confess, having buried many people that have died because of a drunken driver, I, at one time in my life, had very little tolerance for anybody that was drunk driving. I think I still have that intolerance. People die because they're alcoholic. They say that it's their choice. Is it? You see, the Bible says that when you're born again, this body of yours becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. So do you drown the Holy Spirit in alcohol and still call yourself a Christian? It is necessary for you and I to get ourselves straightened out about drunkenness. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. Therefore, drinking is an unnecessary thing. Alcoholism should never be a part of a Christian's life. Oh, well, you say, sexual sin is unforgivable. Oh, we love this one, don't we? We roll it around on our lips and we keep it going with our gossip, and we are wrong. But you know, sexual sin, even at its extreme end, is forgiven. I'm pleased to hear how Jesus dealt with the lady that had many husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. And Jesus said, I will give you water. I am the living water. She said, Sir, give me also of this living water that I may not have to keep on coming to this well to get the water out of the well. And then she ran into town and she met the men, and she met all the men that she could, and she said, Come with me to the well. Come with me and see a man that told me everything I ever did, which of course was a female exaggeration. He didn't do that. All he said was, bring your husband here. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, I know. You've had five husbands, and even the man that you're with isn't your husband. In other words, she was a person that was a great flirt, a person who didn't care how sexuality was used. She was what some people would call, of course it's not nice to say this today, she was an immoral person. And the immorality of her life showed through. Now the Lord Jesus came into this world to take hold of the horrors of sexual sinfulness and to wash a person white as snow. I love that. You see, every person, and this is Jesus' argument, he says to the crew that are around this woman that is taken in adultery, taken in the very act, he says, which of you is without sin? Let him be the first to throw a stone at this girl. And the eldest left first, even down to the youngest. Why the eldest? Because older men are far more honest than young men. The older men knew, as Jesus had said, we commit adultery in our hearts. It's far more important to have a clean heart. King David discovered that. He said, Oh Lord, wash me, that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He was crying out. He'd been off with the wrong lady, yet he was God's chosen man to be king of Israel. He didn't have to go to the roof. He didn't have to watch her bathe. He didn't have to send for her. He didn't have to commit a sexual act with her that made her pregnant. He didn't have to do that. But he did. You see, even sin that is so overwhelming, with such enormous, enormous consequences, even this sin is forgivable. And Jesus forgave it. What about theft? When we steal. Well, people do steal. We steal very carefully, and we don't call it stealing, of course. But there are thieves and robbers, and Matthew and Zacchaeus were tax collectors, and they stole. They stole from the people. And Jesus said, I want you both to come and follow me. He said to Matthew, follow me, just come with me. And Matthew left. Now, wouldn't you have thought Jesus would have made him the treasurer of the little group of disciples? But no, that was left to Judas. There are thieves and robbers. Thieves steal, robbers steal with violence. Judas was a robber. He stole with violence, not his violence, but he committed the Lord Jesus over to the enemies of Jesus and betrayed Jesus, and in doing so, he created violence. They took Jesus as an ordinary person. They took Jesus as a dreadful, sinning person. They took him as one that was worse than a murderer, for they released a murderer instead of releasing him. Judas was a robber. Jesus said to these two men, Matthew and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had been collecting in Jericho the money for the taxes. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come down out of that tree. I want to dine with you today." And Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. He had climbed it because he was a little man. He got lost in the crush and he wanted to see Jesus. Don't you want to see Jesus? Don't you want to hear Jesus say, "Come, let's go to your house, let's go to your abode, let's go together in your life, and let's abide with each other within your life"? Oh, the Lord Jesus will do that with you if you will allow him to. You will become a saint of the Lord Jesus, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. In fact, he will pour mercy upon you. Zacchaeus got out of that tree and he went to his home. Zacchaeus was all excited. Jesus was with him. All he expected to see from the sycamore tree was Jesus, but instead Jesus went home with him. And people said, "Look at that! Just this Jesus who is holy, who is supposedly the Son of God, he deals, he dwells with, he has fellowship with people that don't know God. He is a friend of publicans and sinners." Wow! You see, God had come to a place in his plan for mankind where he wanted to express to this world a wonderful happening. God sent his only Son into this world by a miracle, and he wanted people to put their trust in this Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And he wanted people to say that they would trust Jesus for their soul, that their souls might live eternally, for the forgiveness of sins, to become saints, and to follow Jesus all the days of their lives, that they may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Jesus came. He came for you. He came for me. He came for all who would repent and believe the gospel. He came for every person who would listen to his voice when he said, "Follow me." He came for everybody that would turn on their heel and follow him. Some of those people won't have very productive lives, but others will. Some will gain 30-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. But he will reward all who follow him. He will not calculate and say, "Well, you've only followed me for a week or a day before you died and came to heaven, or before I came back onto the earth." He won't say that. It's not a sliding scale of blessing. He says, "Come unto me, I give you rest." He says, "Come unto me, I will not forsake you. I will not divorce you. Come to me, trust me. I'm always here. I'll always be your companion." It's interesting how it is that Paul tells us that before he was converted, before he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest, lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." Before he was able to say, "I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Before that happened, Paul says, "I was a blasphemer. I persecuted the church. I made sure people went to the arena in Ephesus. I made sure that people all over the place suffered for this thing they called Christianity. I persecuted the church," he said. Paul tells us how prior to his conversion, he was a blasphemer. But now he is forgiven. Forgiven. You know, you might say, "Well, surely the unforgivable sin is murder." King David was wrong because of his sin with Bathsheba that I've already mentioned. He sent for her husband who was fighting in the battles against the enemies of Israel. And he sent for her husband, Uriah, and he came and he said, now you go home to your wife, thinking that if he went home to his wife, he would have some sexual commitment to her, and then the child that he knew she was already pregnant with would be claimed as Uriah's. Uriah did not obey the king. Uriah said, my men are in the field and they're fighting. They're laying on the grass. How can I go to the bed and have my wife with me and the comfort of home when my men are suffering in the battlefield? And so he did not go to his wife. When David found out, he was furious. So he had plan B. And plan B was, he sent word, and he sent it, by the way, in a written document by Uriah. Uriah actually took it to the general. The word was, put him in the thickest of the next battle, put him where it's hottest, where the things are going very hard, and then tell the men that are fighting with him to withdraw and isolate him so that he's cut to pieces by the enemy. And that happened. David was responsible for his murder. Yet David today is with Christ. You know, neither collectively nor separately, all these things that I have said to you constitute a sin that cannot be forgiven. Any sin becomes unpardonable if a person refuses to confess and repent that Jesus Christ is Savior Lord. Then it's unpardonable. So if you've got any of these sins laying around in your life, or you're enacting them to this very present moment, I beg you to think of Jesus, who was born tainted with all the things that a young child could be tainted with, tested in all ways as we are, yet Jesus is without sin. And the miracle of his birth is he is God incarnate, God on earth. If you want to know what God would do with you, if you repented and came to him, you have only to read the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe you only need to read one, and you'll soon see that you need to repent and believe the Gospel. And the Gospel is this: to become a saint of the Lord Jesus, you must repent of sin, receive the salvation that Jesus purchased at Calvary, and understand that it didn't end there. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's a mighty triumph for his foes. He beat death. He died, but he rose again, and Satan couldn't keep him dead. Satan couldn't close the gates of hell on him. He couldn't be kept in the underworld, or however you want to express that. Satan could not keep him. You see, the wages of sin, the result of sin, is death. And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And that's a fact. But he that believeth on me, said Jesus, shall never die. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a wonderful thing. Hey, aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me this much. Thank you so much for coming into this world to die for me. Thank you for giving me new life. Thank you for giving me joy unspeakable. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for cleansing my mind, cleansing my heart, cleansing my body. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for life everlasting. Now, you may think I'm getting carried away, and I wish I could, but I want you to understand this, that the Lord Jesus loves you with a massive, massive chunk of love. Oh, you can't measure it. You can't weigh it. You can't comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, the love of God. None of us can understand why he would love us. I look in the mirror every day when I shave. How could he love me? So unholy, so helpless, so ridiculous, so wrong. Yet he reached out and touched my soul, and I became cleansed. I became a believer in this Jesus Christ who loves me and keeps me all the days of my life. So friends, saints, trust this Lord Jesus. It's Christmas coming, and he loves you with an everlasting love and proved it at this time of year. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for being our Savior, and thank you for holding us so tight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, and thank you for putting love in our hearts, that we may not judge, lest we be judged, but that we may love and express the love of God, which is greater far than anything we can imagine. Lord, be with us now. Be with all these dear people that have listened. For Jesus' sake, we ask it, that his honor and glory shall be proclaimed. Amen. Hey, thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.